At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up? What's happening? It is In This League
right here on Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. You can find us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh and at Bogman Sports. You cannot find us at InThisLeague.com, except InThisLeague.com. Bogman will reroute you to Patreon.com/ITL Army. The funny bit was that we've had a website for a long time. A while back, like, I was just like, is anyone going to our site? Like, we write some stuff. We put some stuff up. We're podcasters. So I stopped updating it during this crazy time. And then I was like, nobody has said anything. We haven't updated the website. So then I did it as a social experiment. And then it went a really long time. And then we were like, we probably just don't even need this site. We do all of our stuff on Patreon. So, and then we had an actual website issue. So we rerouted the website. All of the sudden, the minute that that happened, apparently a million people are like, what happened to InThisLeague.com?
I didn't even think I told you this, that literally yesterday, our buddy Collings texted me and said, what's up with your website? And it was before you got the reroute on it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're fixing it. I called the people at GoDaddy and then they gave me no answers and told me they wanted to charge me $95 to fix it. And I got frustrated and hung up on them. So I'm just waiting until I calm down to get it fixed. And then you text me later in the night and you're like, hey, I fixed it. And I'm like, look at this.
Well,
what a beautiful world. Problem solved.
I didn't fix the website. I rerouted the website.
No. You fix what we wanted to do. And yeah. When I called those idiots, they're like, oh, yeah, we can do that. It's $80. And I was like, I almost just lost $100. You people that I don't like charge us a bunch of money. I mean, the people that work at GoDaddy. Yeah. So I was incredibly frustrated. And then it was like one of those things on the list. And I'm like, oh, God, we got to get this done. And then you just text me out of nowhere. And it's like, look at this. Great
it's
news.
Done. Look at that.
Unbelievable. Amazing.
Just did the thing. And you can get all of the exciting stuff that we do over on Patreon. Lots of cool stuff, Bogman. Like
a great secret show.
Like a great secret show where I lanced my toe on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you guys didn't know, the Welsh broken toe.
I bloked it.
He bloke it all the way down to the bloke and blown. And it's black and gross looking. And I just, you know, I feel like I kind of convinced you. You were like, yeah, I'm going to have to lance it soon. I'm like, you got a bunch of knives. You always brag about all them knives that you got just hanging out over there. Let's go ahead and get that done. And you were down. It was impressive.
Well, yes. What was really funny was after the show, I went downstairs, was talking to my wife, and I was just like, oh, hey, by the way, I lanced. You know, lance is like a cute word for cutting your foot. And I was, and she was like, oh, I'm so proud of you. Like, I'm a child that wouldn't do it. And I was like, all right, whatever. So, and then she was like, wait a minute. She's like, how did you do it? And I was like, I just took one of my knives. And she's like, did you sterilize it? Did you heat it up? And I'm like, no. She's like, and I'm like, well, I went and put it under the water after, washed it out a little bit. And she was like, oh, my God, that's how you get an infection. Go spray the thing. So she was really instantly happy with me.
You put some peroxide on it, you're fine, right?
Yeah, and then she treated me like my seven-year-old after. She was just like, oh, you're an idiot for doing that. So
does it feel better today?
Yeah, it feels fine. I mean, it's still black. Toe's still black.
Yeah.
But the squishy's gone.
Oh, God. The squishy. Oh, God. The
squishy was gone. It's gone. But
good.
It's better. We're getting better on the toe. We I was about to say we dissect the toe stuff. We didn't actually dissect the toe. But we also went down a very fun rabbit hole, if you will, a bunny hole, if you will, Bogman, in potentially creating a revenue stream to make some great content for Bogman. And we discovered Air Force Amy, if you're familiar with that name, is still working in the biz, if you will.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, people have a tendency to do it maybe a couple times. You stick around maybe a little bit too long at a job here or there, right? Yeah. And maybe that's happening with her. But pretty interesting to know that she's still there, and check out the other lineup. It was an enjoyable time, I'll say. So you guys should go to patreon.com or now inthisleague.com and check it out.
Doesn't matter. That's It'll take you to the same place. It'll take you to the exact same place. You and Casey Bubba talking in hour three. I heard about a so-called it's baby football, as I call it, college football.
It's happening. Natty. The Natty is on Monday. Clemson versus LSU should be a good game. Decent amount of prospects in it, too. So we kind of talk about it as he is an average college football watcher, as I am. So we go over and talk about who we think is going to win. I know you're not as interested. You'll probably watch it right in the background, the kids running around and stuff.
You know when? Maybe around the fourth quarter. I'll tune in if I got time. If you didn't know, Bogman, I'm moving soon. So I'm a moving and a shaking.
You're moving on Monday? Is that happening?
No, not moving on Monday.
Oh,
I have important things to do. I have very, very important things to do.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that. So, but there's a game on Monday, and it's going to be a fantastic game. It's one of those. It's not where, you know, like last year where Clemson just crushed Alabama. I think it's going to be one of the other games like Georgia versus Bama where it comes down to the last second, maybe some overtime action. So should be a very, very good game.
Jennifer Lawrence, the quarterback, right?
That's right. Yes, yes. Yeah. From Rogue is the quarterback. Mm. Is that Rogue?
Nope.
No,
you picked, of all the roles, you picked the wrong one.
right. Mystique, excuse me.
Rogue is that chick from True Blood.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
What's her name?
I wanted to call her Anna Kendrick, and that's
Anna,
not her name.
Anna Paquin.
Thank you.
Penguin?
That's right. Penguin. Anna Penguin and the Penguin, Danny DeVito. Right. And what was her name in
Sookie.
In Hunger Games?
Oh.
No.
Anna Paquin?
Jennifer
I don't know. I've seen.
Yeah, they all had weird names.
I think I saw the first one, and then I don't know if I saw the second one.
I saw the first one and that was it.
What was her name? It was like Anna Fishburne.
I don't know. It's one of those weird, it's like kind of like a real person's name, but it's like, names. You know, Tennifer or something. It's something weird.
Oh, I'm typing it in though, because we need to know now, because someone's like, hey, you idiots, it's blah, blah. Oh, Katniss Everdeen.
Katniss.
Yeah, that's
okay,
a real name.
Yeah.
Do you think they were losers that were just like, we're going to name our girl Katniss? Like, how many Katnisses do you think are going to be out there in like 15 years?
A decent amount. There was that.
I'd like to introduce you to my two best friends, Katniss and Daenerys.
Sorry. Yeah, Khaleesi over here. Wasn't that a joke in like Californication? He's like, I love these young girls, but if another one of them tells me that I have to read The Hunger Games, I'm gonna kill myself.
You know, did Game of Thrones become? Game of Thrones became The Hunger Games after, where everyone's like, you go read the books.
No, I don't know. Like, I just think that the Hunger Games were, you know, aren't they on like a I don't know what to say, like a level down from the Game of Thrones books?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, yeah, from a character perspective, I guess like Hunger Games probably had. What do you think had more mainstream appeal, Hunger Games or Harry Potter? With like, and I'm talking like men and women and all that.
Harry Potter, because Harry Potter is not just men and women; it's also for kids. So, I think Harry Potter has way more mainstream appeal. So, I mean, there's no, unfortunately, there's no Hunger Games theme parks. That would be pretty cool to good see. But there's Harry Potter theme parks, right? Come on,
that's a very, very good point. Very, very.
I would
good
like
point.
To see what a Hunger Games theme park looks like.
That'd be great, people running around for the, just running for their lives and stuff like that. That'd be fantastic.
When is that stuff actually going to start? Pretty soon, right?
What, the Harry Potter land?
No, the Hunger Games, like the actual Hunger Games that we have on television.
Oh, right? Well.
Let's just skip past UFC and go straight to
the Hunger
Games.
A few more ballistic missiles and we can start getting into it. You know what I'm saying? We might be close. So, all right. So Jennifer Lawrence is playing for Alabama or something on Monday night, and you can watch the baby football games, and Bogman will be tweeting about it, right?
Right, right. Watch Joe Burrow. Yep, Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne.
That's a man's
Justin
name.
Justin Jefferson.
What's your name? Joe Burrow. I'm Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. And, of course, he changes it like the, you know, the Cajun spelling instead of UW.
Yeah,
Burrow.
I don't like it. Don't like it.
You don't
all.
Like that stuff?
Nope, don't like it.
I always like that stuff.
Look at his name. I was about to say, look at his name. I look at his name, and I'm like, no, nah, it doesn't work
nine.
For me. Doesn't work
the
for me.
God dang Burrow, you spell it right like an American.
Don't like that name you got there, boy.
I don't like no Cajun French stuff over here, you understand that?
There's football. As we're podcasting, as you're listening to it, you're either coming up on my game or my game is already going down. As you told my wife, I was like, listen, I know I wasn't crazy with, you know, avoiding all the stuff all season long for football. I was pretty good about it this year. I'm not, and I know we're moving in a couple weeks. I'm not doing anything for during this time. I am 100% watching this game for the 49ers and the Vikings. We're going to talk about those games. That's going to be exciting. But, you know, also we're going to keep doing these team previews. Well, maybe we'll be jumping around a little bit, but I just feel like we have got to open the show talking about that wildly weird ass trade that went down on Thursday between the Rays and the Cardinals. And it was one of those trades too, Boggs, where it was like, there's one name announced, and it took hours for the entire trade to open up. Why? Yeah, why?
Just
why can't we just get them all?
Figure it out. Right.
Is it the whole,
just
like,
figure it
is
out.
I think it's that whole, like, well, the one guy hasn't been, like, informed. And it's like, well, just, like, you know, if you don't answer your phone, you're going to find out on the internet.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, and also just, like, if you get half the trade, you know, I guess you have to say it whenever you get it if you're a reporter. But I always kind of found that lame. Like, oh, this is half. I don't know what's coming back. It's like getting half your job done and going like, yep, here you go. That's what I got.
Well,
okay, well, that's only your job's only half done. Well, that's all I'm doing. That's all I have time for. There you go.
Well, I mean, the biggest piece, Matt Liberatore was one of the is a top prospect in baseball. He was one of the top draft picks from just a year or so ago. Like, that was what they went with. But what's so weird is, like, 10 minutes after, I think it was John Heyman reports, and he's like, it's a six-piece deal, two being draft picks. And it's like, so wait a minute. You have, you're telling me you know you have the names. And someone's saying you can't say the other names. How do you have everything? Was there a source that's like, yeah, there's six pieces going, two are draft picks. We can only tell you Matt Liberatore. Like, what? What? But the...
Yeah.
Rays traded Matt Liberatore, a low-level catcher that's not of importance, and their competitive balance B pick, which means it happens after the second round. And they traded those to the Cardinals, and they got Jose Martinez. They got the competitive balance A pick, and I'm completely drawing a blank on what the other piece was that they got. Oh, and I think it was a...
Jose Martinez. Hold on.
What was it? I completely drew. I drew an
well, this
absolute
is how,
blank.
This is how non-consequential it was. Is, you know, Matt Liberatore was obviously the biggest piece going, and everyone looks at this trade and goes, what? I believe what you, your buddy Scott White tweeted, fart noise. And you tweeted long fart noise.
I responded, oh, Randy Arozarena. That's who it was.
Arozarena, that's right.
Randy Arozarena, right. Jose Martinez, and their competitive balance A pick. And it was not, yeah, like, because Scott and I were talking, because we were tweeting, like, I tweeted that I had a feeling Alex Reyes was involved, and he agreed with me. And we were had a little, you know, tweet chain that was going on. And then when the trade came out, we were just like, oh, like, Jose Martinez, a Rosarena, competitive Valencia pick. Like, Rays fans are disappointed. Where the Cardinals fan, Cardinals look like they kind of they stole something. Though there is a pretty heavy thing going on right now, Boggs, where people think like, oh, the Rays know something about him that nobody else knows.
About?
Like Libertor. Like there's something wrong with Libertor.
Okay. Now, see, I thought that the Rays wanted Libertor, or the Cardinals wanted Libertor because the Rockies want him in a Nolan Arenado deal. That is something that, I mean, it was just a rumory thing that I read somewhere, probably on Reddit, now that it, you know, now
so
that I'm thinking
it
about
that
it.
The Rockies want Libertor if they were to trade Arenado to the Cardinals?
Well, that was, so this is why I put these pieces together here, because we didn't really hear much about Arenado to the Cardinals, just maybe they would be involved until they traded for Matt Libertor. And then immediately afterwards, we hear that, now the Cardinals are really in on Nolan Arenado. So I feel like maybe the Rockies want Libertor back. So they had to find a way to get Libertor, and it would probably be something like Gorman, Libertor, and something else going to the Cardinals for going to the Rockies for Nolan Arenado.
That's very interesting speculation. I mean, Libertor is definitely, he's one of these guys, like, I love Matt Libertor. I don't want to be the guy that does this, but I do it all the time, and I preface it, and it doesn't even matter that I do it anymore, so I'm really going to stop doing it. Like, I'm one of the higher guys on Matt Libertor. Like, everybody else is like, hey, now I've stuck with Matt Libertor. Matt Libertor hasn't been a sexy option. So if you're talking like dynasty values or prospect stuff, like he doesn't go with the buzz guys. There's these guys like, you know, Grayson Rodriguez and Logan Gilberts that people are so handedly taking above. But like, you know, guys don't understand, like Matt Libertor has got plus offerings, maybe a bit of a command issue, but can hit the high 90s. Like, this is a big dude. I saw him in high school, because he's a local Arizona kid, pitch, and his curveball fastball combination is devastating. So this could be like a top end pitcher. He's just not quite as sexy. He's in the Rays, so he got his value got vaulted down a bit. But this is a high acquisition. You know, this type of young starting pitching that's also moving through, this doesn't get traded that often. You don't see these guys get moved. So I could see how a team like the Rockies might have a high evaluation on Libertor. But it is weird because I don't feel like we see trades like this where one team goes and acquires a prospect to then do a further move.
Usually it's all laid out. You know, it's okay.
Yeah.
Here are the three teams involved. All these players are going to X, Y, and Z. But I think it's one of those cases where the Cardinals, like, you know, they would say, okay, well, we'll get Libertor now. And even if this deal for Arenado doesn't work out, we'll just keep him.
No.
You know, I think it could be one of those as well.
I 100% agree. Well, let's talk a tiny bit more about this, because also Libertor was reunited with his best friend, his best friend in the world. So we'll talk about who that is. We'll talk about some of the ramifications and what this trade means. A little bit of baseball talk, a few other things going on. We're going to be talking about football, and we might even get some more division preview conversation in here. We did the Diamondbacks last episode, so don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
In this league.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid. You guys can find us online at patreon.com/ITLR. Come and join up with the boys if you would like to do so. It's still early in the month, so it's all good. You get lots and lots in front of you. Secret Show just dropped. New ones coming up. Ranks. We got a whole bunch of stuff coming up next week, so make sure you check us out on the Patreon. So we were talking about the Matthew Liberatore trade to the Cardinals, and probably the biggest sentiment across the board was like, what are the Rays doing? Because they traded the best player in here. But, Boggs, they got stuff back. They got things back that I think what people need to understand is it just becomes a conversation of value. Jose Martinez is a player that they can, I mean, as much as they're a logjam, he's one of the few guys of flexibility for multiple positions. That competitive balance A pick is essentially a first-round pick. So there's a lot of value in that in a draft that is, it's not amazing, but there could be some really good values in it. So they got a player that helps them now. They got the competitive balance pick, and Randy Arozarena is a pretty fast outfielder. I think it was just a consolidation for a win, like they said, for a win-now team. I don't think it's so much about people needing to read into, like, Liberatore just doesn't make, he obviously isn't as good or whatever. He's just a long ways away. They can replace him with that competitive balance pick, and Jose Martinez is a pretty damn good major leaguer. So it's just a trade that we wouldn't do as dynasty owners because of Liberatore, but it's a definite baseball move.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of one of those things when you look at it, you're like, oh, here we go. All of the fantasy nerds are going to be upset, which is what we are,
Sure.
But it seems like, it's that pick, I think, that, the compensation A pick is after the first round, if I'm not mistaken, correct? So
Yeah. I mean, so it'll be pick like 33 or something. I haven't gone and looked and see exactly what it was, but it's around there.
Right, exactly. It'll be in the 30s, So that's an extremely high pick. So if you can get someone in the Liberatore range around there, plus the other guys, it just makes sense to do this deal. So it's one of those where people look at it and they go, oh, man. And then you go, well, okay, now I see.
They're flush. They're flush with pitching talent, too, as if people should remember. Brent Honeywell is getting healthy, and he's about to come back. They've got Shane Boz. They've got Shane McClanahan. They've got multiple young pitchers throughout their system. They've also got a guy like Honeywell that's coming soon. There just wasn't an immediate need. And they could say, hey, this is a good pitcher. There's some flaws. Obviously, you don't trade him if he's, Mackenzie Gore, the best guy on the planet. But they just said, hey, listen, this is a good pitcher. It doesn't mean that he's broken. It just means he needs some more work. They're flush. And this is just a trade that maybe they didn't want to move him. But, this helps their system across the board. But clearly,
everybody wanted Tyler O'Neill to go in this deal. to give him some extended playing time. But I don't even know if Tyler O'Neill would have got traded. Is he going to get everyday playing time? Probably not.
He is, except the team is still interested in Marcell Ozuna. So if Marcell Ozuna comes back, then I think O'Neill, you know, he just becomes a platoon player between some version of Tyler O'Neill, Dexter Fowler, and Bader. Like, those three guys are playing for two spots. And I just feel like O'Neill would be the guy that would be hurt a little bit.
Right. And everyone's obsessed with Nate Lowe. And, you know, Nate Lowe gets just pushed back down even a little bit more because Jose Martinez, you know, while he can play outfield, he's probably better as a first baseman. And they have Choi and they have Jose Martinez now, and they just have a bunch of dudes that can play first base. So he gets pushed down a little bit more, too. So as a fantasy person, it's just aggravating seeing this trade because nothing huge comes of it for this year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
that's the bothersome thing.
Well, I mean, it was like, hey, take Jose Martinez out of the rotation in St. Louis, which was a problem, and now go put him into a situation where there's like eight dudes vying for four spots.
I didn't realize he's almost 32.
Yeah, he's been there for a while. My only problem is, like, he's not free, but a lot of people are like, it's just a disaster. And it's like, that's not that much of a disaster. Like, he actually has flexibility. He's not a great outfielder, but he can play a couple different spots, and he can play first base and DH. The majority of the guys that they have on that team right now, they're actually not super flexible. They're more like they can be this position or DH. You know, they got Hunter Renfroe or DH. They just brought in Setsugo, who I guess could maybe play outfield, but I think is more of a DH in general. I just feel like Martinez gave them a little bit of flexibility, but maybe it opens up and he becomes valuable fantasy-wise. But it is a weird trade. So much was made about it. Even the tweet before, it was like, a big trade is coming. And it was like, it's okay. Like, it was fine.
If this trade happened in the middle of April, people would be like, all right. You know, but I think because most of the free agents have signed, there's only a couple out there. The pitchers and catchers haven't reported yet. We're kind of desperate for any type of news. People are like, Matt Liberatore was traded. He has the same name as my blood, my cholesterol medication. I'm really excited about where he goes. So I don't know. Like, it's a nice offseason move. But it's one that I think if it happened in the middle of the season, we'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, the Rays beat the Orioles and then this trade happened. So one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't because you're a prospect guy. But I think most people looking at it would be like, yeah, they traded this piece for a piece over here.
I mean, listen, no, like, I expected the Rays to get a little bit more. I thought they would get a Tyler O'Neill. I thought they would get an Alex Reyes. I thought they'd pull something off, especially when other pieces were involved. Wasn't the case.
When you reevaluate this, when you look at it at the 30,000 foot view as medium fart noise instead of long fart noise.
Yeah. Cause Scott White was just like fart noise after. And I was like, yeah, long fart noise. It was a long fart noise because of all of our anticipation. By the way, had this trade just been tweeted immediately, I don't think there would be this much of a visceral reaction. If it was just Liberatore and the pick and the catcher for Martinez and it just came out in one shot, we'd all be like, huh. But because it was dragged out and we all had time to speculate and sit on it, it got worse. So I think that's where some of the narrative came from.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
And by the way, I didn't even mention it. Nolan Gorman, who's with the Cardinals, is best friends with Matt Liberatore.
Oh, my God. I was hoping so much because everyone feels like they're part of their friendship for some reason and is telling everyone like they didn't know that they're friends. Like every single person I saw on Twitter was tweeting that, oh, they're best friends.
Did you know?
And they get to play together and blah, blah. Yeah, I was like, I hope it's Gorman for Liberatore straight up.
That would have been the funniest thing on the planet.
So funny. And of course, that's not what happened.
But they're legit like best friends. They've grown up together. Their families are friends because they played, one of them played at Sandra Day O'Connor and I don't remember, the other one played Chaparral or something. And I think Mountain Ridge, and they're just best friend, literal best friends, and now they're going to the system together. So it's a cool little story. You know, every minor league thing will be put up about them. There'll be videos of the two sitting together and whatnot, but it's a cool little end of story that was big baseball news going into, or at least the kind of the first big baseball news of the new year. Also, what dropped on Friday, arbitration numbers came out, which is not super interesting overall, but there were a couple ones. Mookie Betts settled for a record $27 million. The previous was 26. And what is interesting about it is he's set to be a free agent after this season, and he's surrounded by trade numbers. I wonder if now that the numbers are settled, that the team is more likely to trade, because there could be not that the numbers could, like, if they settle for $27 million, it might have meant, I have no knowledge to this, maybe he was asking for 29 and they wanted to give 25,
right.
In the middle. This could be enough that teams needed to see what the arbitration number was before there was any consideration of trading for
him. They at least know it now. Yeah,
exactly.
I think you're 100% right. Like, it's not really so much about the physical number. It's about knowing what the number is.
But also, if let's say he was asking for 29, like, $2 million is very important at this point, because Mookie Betts could put you over the cap. You know, so, like, you need to
That's a reliever.
Know. Yeah.
You know, $2 million is a decent reliever. The D-backs just got Rondon for $3 million. I mean, so.
Or it's the luxury tax for a certain team.
Right. Yeah. Well, for the Red Sox specifically. So, yeah. And now it might be one of those things where they're like, we got to get this guy off our team. So
maybe
because of the luxury tax, because that's the thing that they were trying to avoid all year last year. That's why they didn't re-sign Craig Kimbrell. That's why they didn't trade for a high-priced reliever when everyone knew they needed one last year, was because they're already up against the luxury tax and are sick of paying it. So it's one of those things too. So like you said, the arbitration numbers are interesting. I don't know that they're exciting.
It could push but it could push a move to finally happen as well. Chris Bryant also settled for 18.5. He's been involved in some trade rumors. I don't really know what that goes with on our end. And also, this could help with free agency, because free agency is kind of stalled. These teams finally having their final numbers. Specifically, and this is where I'm going with this, a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have been sitting on, I think they've been sitting on about $12 million extra. You know, they may have priced themselves out of the market or needed to wait, because they needed to figure out numbers from guys like Robbie Ray, who got 9, and they completely avoided going to arbitration with David Peralta, and they signed David Peralta to a 3-year, $22 million deal. So that's about roughly $7.5 million a year that they just gave him. And right. I don't know what type of raise that necessarily is. Or, you know, honestly, the Diamondbacks could have done that because they might pay him a lower amount this year so they can go and, you know, get back into one more market to get a center fielder later on. But, you know, a couple of those numbers were settled. And he was the only one that got an extension, in David Peralta. And I know you love that move, right?
Yeah, I do. I think it's affordable contract. It's cheap. And these are moves that smart GMs do. They go in. I mean, that's how we got Goldie on the team friendly deal the first time. It was like the only good thing that Kevin Towers did while he was here was he signed Paul Goldschmidt to a team friendly deal. So it might have been Dave Stewart. I'm fairly certain it was Towers, but it might have been Dave Stewart. But, you know, I mean, those guys weren't known for being very successful, but somebody got a good deal out of Goldie. So, yeah, I like those early moves. It's the same thing. That's why Luis Robert just got paid. You know, they can put him in there from the first. And if he blows up and has an unbelievable season, sorry, bub, we got you for another 5 years at this deal. So we're not going
to
renegotiate.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about this type of stuff. You know, I mean, look, Mookie Betts' arbitration number sets a team back. They are committed $27 million for 1 year on him right now, when the team is a little bit in flux. So it just opens up the market. And I'm kind of excited at the possibility that this is going to move forward, these final moves, because that's what I want. Like, you know, the Libertor trade is interesting, like we just talked about, because maybe O'Neill gets playing time. Well, Ozuna's still out there. Diamondbacks are looking for a center fielder. Well, they got to get the arbitration numbers out there. Robbie Ray, Chris Bryant, the Nolan Arenado, you know, all of this stuff. This, I think, has to come to a head this month because, minor leaguers are actually already reporting out here in Arizona. I follow a bunch because I cover, and I've got a bunch of minor leaguers.
Have you met any at the Whole Foods recently?
Not at the Whole Foods recently that I recognize. But there's a bunch of dudes that are already at the complexes. So the players, you know, the major leaguers are going to start coming. These guys are going to be here in Arizona and Florida in a month. They'll be reporting a couple days after that. They're all going to be here. Teams want to get settled. So you're going to see Ozuna sign. You're going to see teams that are out on the pitching try to get Robbie Ray. Now that arbitration is gone, I think all these teams are going to be more comfortable. And then we can move forward with all of this amazingness. You know, give me more moves. Give me trades.
I mean, we're still waiting on who are the big guys still left waiting to sign? Ozuna is still waiting to sign. Who else?
Oh, man, I just saw a stupid list yesterday. Donaldson is probably the biggest.
That's it. Yeah. Donaldson's the biggest. Isn't there a pitcher, too? I feel like there's one pitcher. I can't remember who it is at this point. There's too many damn names floating around. But
I don't think a significant pitcher. I think the majority of the pitching market has solidified itself. I could be wrong. There could be like one more we're waiting on, but I'm pretty sure the majority of the pitching market has solidified itself. And then it's just a couple hitters. It's Donaldson, Ozuna. There's one more I'm not thinking of. And then it's just the straight up trade market. That's it.
Right, right. And it's and when guys start, you know, really moving and shaking, you know what I mean? We're going to start seeing injuries crop up, and then people have to decide what's the last thing they have to do. You know, let's see here. I'm looking at a list. Mitch Moreland's still a free agent, the Welsh. So Dozier still out on the market. Mm-hmm. So is Kipnis. Can you believe that? Dozier and Kipnis. Remember when they were high picks?
Yeah.
This has Chris Owings, but I think he signed somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. There's I know. I'm just going through.
Is
the
there
whole
no
thing.
Pitcher?
Let me see. I'm on outfielder still, Brett Gardner. Starting pitchers, Ivan Nova, Andrew Kashner, Jason Vargas. Yeah, I think that's it, man. Clay Buchholz, Tyson Ross.
Robbie Ray looks even better.
Felix Hernandez.
That's an interesting one.
Is he going to play? Is he done?
No, he still wants to pitch.
Yeah, okay, well, he's still out there. Alex Wood hasn't signed. There's one.
That's a semi-interesting name. But see, there's nobody of impact. That's the point. There's no impact, guys. You've got to go to the trade market. So if Mike Clevenger, who is one of those guys actually that's already out here reported in Arizona, if it's Clevenger, if it's Robbie Ray, those are the guys that are available. And now that arbitration numbers have settled, teams know what their money looks like. There's literally only two bats on the market that are huge, huge impact. The last steps to do are to hit the trade market, whether it's making a move for Mookie Betts, though there was a report out as well that the Indians are expecting to start the season with Francisco Lindor. So that means the market is just not where it wants to be. The team's going to move forward with Lindor and maybe do it in season. And that's also unless a team, you know, a team wants to blow out their offers. If they've all sent their offers to the Indians and the Indians are like, cool, Dodgers, it's all cool, bro, but if you don't send me Gavin Lux, it's not happening.
Yeah.
A team might just finally decide against it and go for it. But at this moment,
that's what I was going to say. I mean, them saying that, yep, Lindor's just going to stick here means that the Dodgers haven't thrown Gavin Lux in the deal. So,
yeah, 100% agree with that.
I mean, yeah, it's just the way it goes. And that's why I think that sometimes you just have to wait till guys start moving and shaking and unfortunately getting hurt. Because guys getting injured or super underperforming is what makes moves happen. So
yeah.
We just got to get guys to start. Like you said, some guys are already out here, but or just about a month from today being the 11th, I think the first guys that when camp officially opens is the earliest that I've seen so far is the 10th in Arizona. It might be earlier in Florida.
Isn't that crazy?
But we don't have any weird games that are starting in Australia or Japan or Antarctica.
When are they going to do? You know, I love because they come out here. When is the World Baseball Classic? Is it 2022?
Ooh, I don't know.
That sounds right. I'll bet it's 2022.
Yeah, I feel it's either next year or the year after that. So I'll bet you it hasn't been out here for 2 years.
So I'll bet you it's probably next year that they do. Like, because I love the spring training when it happens because then players I don't get to see that are on the East Coast come out. Like, that's where I met Carlos Correa and stuff like that when they were out here in Arizona. So it's fun stuff. All right, we got to hit a break. When we come back, we will be circling back to baseball. Let's talk about the football games. I know you guys want to talk about that. 49ers, Vikings, and a whole bunch more. So more in this league coming up.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, Buckaroo. All night.
All right, we're back. It's In This League. Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at Is It The Welsh. Hey, Sports Grid at Is It The Welsh. And that's Bogman at Bogman Sports. I put a tweet out without my handle on it. I put your handle
that was
on
for
it.
Our hardwood takeaways. And by the way, on the hardwood takeaways last night, I was like, if you're looking for me, it's at Bogman Sports. If you're looking for the Welsh, anyone, it's at Is It The Welsh. Like, I feel like I said your handle more times on the show last night than I said my handle.
I don't know what that was about. I just didn't. I mean, really, also, if you type in like Welsh, I should come up more than Bogman. I think if I've ever put in Bog, I get like weird names that come up. There's not that many Welshes.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's lots of Welsh people.
Yeah, but not with Welsh. I mean, at least tag the incorrect Welsh. Just tag the Reds announcer, Chris Welsh. Do that. Who complains about Ronald Acuna's chain? Wasn't he the one that did that? That was a Pirates person, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was a Pirates guy. Welsh. Yeah. What did he was Ozzie the guy Albies. That talked about Ozzy Albies, right. He doesn't know what money means or whatever he says.
He should be happy to have this money. He's never seen anything like this. Like,
So I Googled the Welsh and Wales. Came up first, of course.
Okay.
Now let me just let me Google Bogman. This isn't good.
But the like Welsh, this. You never saw like me come up when you put the Welsh?
Just into Google. Nope. The Bogman definition of Bogman at dictionary.com. I don't like this.
Oh, what is it?
Let's see. Archaeal, the body of a person found preserved in a peat bog. That's what they say.
The what?
That's a bog. Peat bog, I don't know if you've ever seen
cousin?
These, but no. Peat bog is a bog where, you know, if an animal falls into it, like their body will be preserved. I don't know if you've ever seen stuff
like that. Like in Jurassic Park?
Kind of. Yeah, pretty much.
Fall in some honey?
yeah, kind of. You some mean
sap?
Some amber?
Some sap.
Right, yeah.
Some amber? Sap. MB. So a peat bog. I like it. Right. I think that should be a. Oh, I got it. That is a peat bog is peat the bog. Alter ego of Misogynito. That's his real name. Misogynito's real name is Peat Bog.
Peat Bog. That is Misogynito. I like it.
I like that.
That's
a
fine.
Peter Bog. Peter Boggs. The 49ers and the Vikings, depending when you're listening to this, they could have played, they could be playing now, or it's coming up if you are a hardcore ITL listener and you haven't tackled it yet. My 49ers are hosting the Minnesota Vikings. I've got the line as a 7 to San Francisco. By the way, do you have the lines from last week? Because didn't I hit? I hit one. I hit the Vikings one, which you tried to make me not do.
Yes. So last week, you were 3-1. You got the Houston over. You didn't get New England and the under. You got the under, but not New England. You got Minnesota and you got Seattle. I was 2-2 on both. You were 2-2 on the over-unders. You had the over on the Houston game. Nope. You had the over on the Vikings and Saints game because why wouldn't you? Yeah. And nope. But you got
but my
the
lines
under
were good. I was 3-1 on the lines.
Yep. And now you're 8 games over for the full season. So 11-103. Very nice.
Okay. I like that. Well, the 49ers I've got as a 7-point favorite with the over under 45.5. Is that what you have?
I have 44.5.
Or 40. What did I say?
We can switch.
44.5.
44.5.
That's what I said.
You said 45.5.
Oh, I'm sorry. 44.5 is what I have as well. With San Francisco as a 7-point favorite, they are hosting the Vikings 13-3. The Vikings coming off of a huge win. They're a little bit banged up right now. Adam Thielen, there's a lot of stuff. Let me look on here. The last report we've seen on Adam Thielen, and it might not matter. He was wearing protective padding. He's going to be wearing so like he's going to play, but he's wearing protective padding on his ankle. And the 49ers. potentially have a return of multiple defensive. Dee Ford is, I think, questionable, but good. Kawan Alexander looks like he's going to be coming back. I mean, they're getting some defensive guys back after a much, much needed rest. So what do you think, Boggs? First game of the Saturday slate. I'm kind of excited to get it going quickly. It's the very, very first one. Yeah, I'm heavily invested in it. San Francisco is a favorite, but Minnesota's tough. But these are two very similar teams.
Yeah, I mean, these are two very similar teams that we've got going on here. But I think not only your guys coming back on defense, but you have the break. You have 2 weeks to prepare. I mean, you probably thought you're going to not be playing the Vikings, but, you know, the Vikings not only are going to be coming in beat up after last week and traveling, they do obviously have momentum, but Adam Thielen had to have stitches in the middle of practice this week. Yeah. And
Mantle's got that,
on his foot.
Protective thing.
Right. So I don't know. And it was funny. I was watching. I just had NFL Network on in the background because I'm normally not going to watch a coach press conference because they don't say anything in them. But somebody asked Mike Zimmer, like, what happened to Thielen where he needed stitches? And he goes, we don't talk about things that happen in practice. And that was it. It's like, OK, well,
what are you talking about?
Supposedly he talking about had practice. Shoes on. Right. Did he not have shoes on? Like, did somebody step on him in cleats? Like, that's the only thing.
Did his daughter fall on him with a scooter?
Yeah, right, like right. What did he need stitches for? He wouldn't answer. And Stephon Diggs has the flu, or he's sick with something. So
I don't like any of that stuff, though, because then the narrative starts to be like, you know, Thielen might be a decoy. What's his name isn't that great. And I think about all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be the narrative where they then beat the 49ers. But,
well, look, that's not out of the realm of possibility. You know, if Kirk Cousins come out and has this run like Joe Flacco had on the way to the Super Bowl, yeah, I mean, they could beat anybody. That's why they're in the playoffs. They're a good team. The defense is strong. They've got good offensive players. And really, what it's come down to for the Vikings for the last 25 years, really, is their quarterback going to play good enough in that game to get them where they need to go? And the answer every year has been no. Eventually it's going to be right, but I don't think it's this year. I'm taking your Niners. I like having the week off. I like being at home. I'll give the points as well. Yeah, I just think that the Niners are going to be too much for the Vikings in this game. So I think that this is a dominant beatdown game. I don't know that you're that confident going into this game. Of course, you haven't been the whole year, so I wouldn't expect you to be in this one, but I see this as a Niners stomping.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know so much about a stomping, but I feel relatively confident. I think the game plan with the 49ers is top-notch. I really do think they needed that break. I think that was important for them to kind of reestablish. Getting some pieces back on defense is good. The 49ers are really good with the schemes they like to run, which keeps teams off balance, so maybe they can rerun some of those. You know, they like to do a lot of reverses with Debo out there. Yeah, I mean, Raheem Mostert has been one of the most effective runners when given opportunity the entire season. And there's a lot of things moving in their direction. I hate to feel so positive about it, but I do think this is a 49er win. And I probably think would also take the 49ers with the points, because that's a pretty big line. I believe that, actually, it might be the lowest of the weekend now that I'm looking. It's the second lowest of the weekend. There's a couple 10-point lines here. I wouldn't take the 49ers in that. And I think this is an over type of a game, though. I mean, I feel like what you're alluding to, Boggs, it could almost be like a 24-7 type of a game if the Niners can subdue the Minnesota Vikings.
Even if it's 24-10, that still gets you the under, you know.
Yeah. Did you say, are you taking the under?
I'm taking San Francisco in the under.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what I just said. I'm going to take the under, too. I'm going to take San Francisco in the under. I'm going to go with you on that one. So we'll see. We'll see how my weekend's going to go. It's all determined. The entire weekend with my family is determined by what happens with the 49ers.
And next weekend. You know, next weekend, you're either going to not care even a little, or you're going to be wholly and completely invested. What are you going to do?
I'm going to be invested completely. I mean, you're saying I won't care if the Seahawks win, and I will if the Packers do?
No, I'm saying if the Niners lose, you'll be invested in next week at all.
I'm good.
Well, and what I was going to ask you is, like, isn't your move-out date, isn't that on the Super Bowl? Like,
the day
what are you
going
to do if your Niners are in the Super Bowl?
The day before. You're right. I move in. I think the full move is the day before the Super Bowl. My cable better be installed.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think they come out on Saturdays, do they?
Well, they're coming out on Friday then.
You can have them installed the day before?
I technically move in on Friday. Technically.
Okay.
But everything else is coming. So I'll make sure. If not, I think what you're alluding to is I'll be coming up to your house is what you mean.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yeah, you have to clean up the
well, it should be. I've actually been cleaning it over like the last week. I wouldn't allow you in today, but give me an hour and you would actually be allowed in here. So
I mean, I'll call you before. I won't knock because I know you won't answer.
Don't knock. I won't answer. Everybody knows that. So
yeah.
Photo radar ticket.
But you know what my problem would be though? Is like watching with you, like watching it with anybody is going to be brutal. Because if the 49ers play the Ravens again, and the Ravens just start woodshedding, I'm gonna hate everything. I'm gonna just leave.
You would just leave. I mean, it's not like you're gonna turn a bunch of stuff over in my house. You know, you would just be like, I've had enough. Goodbye. See ya. You know.
No.
Tower. Yeah, I don't. There's a broken one that we could take out to the trash and bash together if that's what you needed to do.
That'd be fun.
But I don't know. Like I my prediction right now would be the Chiefs and the Niners. So
well, we'll see.
I wouldn't have the Raptors.
I'm
in, but
we'll cautiously see. Optimistic, and we got a good spread in the mix here of games with the 49ers and Vikings starting up. The second game, the Ravens are hosting the improbable Tennessee Titans. 14 wins on the year for the Ravens. They are a 10-point favorite. 47 is the over-under. They're going to have to stop Derrick Henry. Tannehill gets it done in a solid way. The Titans are actually surprisingly a pretty even team going up against Baltimore, but you gave, I don't know, man, you gave a little break to Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. All the health concerns have been going on with Andrews, and I think the Ravens are going to absolutely stomp the Titans in this one.
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be a stomping. I'm actually going to take the Titans against the spread here. And in this game, I mean, Mark Ingram is a little bit banged up coming into this game. He's had a hamstring issue heading in here. And I don't know. The Ravens are I wouldn't call them inexperienced because there's a lot of guys on this team that have been in the playoffs. But Mark Andrews is questionable. Like there's a little bit of firepower missing. And I'm not saying that Tennessee is going to come in and beat Baltimore, but I expect this game to be closer.
I think
so.
I
think if I had to pick one side dominating, I think you're absolutely right about that. If I had to pick one team to dominate this game, it would be
the
Ravens.
But I was saying before, as I said it, like the Titans, I think, are shockingly a balanced team on the defensive side, and their offense has really come together with Tannehill. A.J. Brown has really moved forward. So I'm giving them the credit to say they are a balanced team, and they are very capable of it. It's just with the break with Baltimore, Lamar Jackson is something completely different. This feels like, to me, Baltimore could get up 24-0 in the first half.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that happen. But, you know, we talk about the Titans being balanced. But do you know, I don't know if you looked at the numbers from last week, but tell me how many passing yards Ryan Tannehill had as the Titans beat the Patriots.
I mean, Derrick Henry had like 180 rushing yards. Does Tannehill have like 110?
Lower.
Was it 89?
Lower.
Oh, my God. Was it 75?
72.
Wow.
He had 72 passing yards, a touchdown, and a pick.
You're not going to win against Baltimore doing that, though.
You're not. But we talked about this leading up to the playoffs where, you know, Ryan Tannehill and the Titans offense had been number three in the NFL in points scored and yards behind, I think it was, Baltimore and Tennessee. since Ryan Tannehill took over. So they can score and they can put points up. And I would say Baltimore's defense, while much better than what I expected it to be this year, it's still not the Patriots. So
what
I think they're going to be able to move the ball a little bit. So.
Can you imagine just for a second, just jumping a little bit to Sunday, which we'll break down in the next segment, just but for argument's sake here for a minute, imagine going into next week if Minnesota, Tennessee, Houston, and Seattle won. And there was no Niners, no Baltimore, no Chiefs, and no Packers.
I think it would be like the first time in NFL history.
Do you think it would be the lowest playoff ratings the NFL's ever seen?
No, I honestly don't, because last week, who did you have that is a overwhelmingly popular team as far as the NFL? You didn't have the Packers playing. You didn't have the Steelers playing. You didn't have the Cowboys playing. And they did the best weekend they've ever done as far as ratings go.
Okay, but the problem is what they were doing, though, was leading up to playing the really good teams. Like, it was, oh, here are the teams that are going to play the ones we care about. I'm saying you are going to go into a weekend where there's nothing more. It is literally, it would be Minnesota versus Seattle, and it would be Houston versus Tennessee. There is no more excitement to the other teams. I think you would see it's not a plummet. I shouldn't make it more about it than it is. I just don't think, I think the excitement would be drawn out significantly.
You might be right, but I think that you would get some of that hype back when people know that for the first time in 8 million years since 2003, I think that we've had one AFC championship that didn't have Manning, Roethlisberger, or Brady. So,
I mean, the best player would be Russell Wilson. That would be the best player left in the playoffs next week if that were to happen, would be Russell Wilson. That's not good.
Oh, I would enjoy it. I know that maybe the NFL wouldn't, but it ain't going to happen like that anyway. So I'm going to take Tennessee against spread. I mean, it's still going to take Baltimore in the game. So I think it's just going to be a little bit closer. So how are you? I don't have it for you. What are you doing in this one?
I'm going to go Baltimore, even though it's a huge line. I'm going to take Baltimore in this one. The over-under is really hard to fathom, but I'm going to take the under as well on that one. I'm going to say that Baltimore is going to they're going to run away with this one. This could be
A 35-3 game.
It might 27-10, okay. Something like that. I mean, Baltimore doesn't need to go crazy. I mean, they can put up the points, so this might be 35-10, and I still cover if that's the case. Tennessee, just not a great example of passing prowess last week. Derrick Henry is what Baltimore needs to stop. I don't see Tennessee being able to stop Lamar Jackson, and I think the Ravens are a force. They're who I'm most scared of in the playoffs. So if we get to the Super Bowl and it's a 49ers or Ravens, I don't like that. I don't like that. 49ers have had their biggest struggle.
Don't worry. There'll be a power outage. You'll be fine.
Again, their biggest struggle the 49ers have had in 2019 is mobile quarterbacks. So, they've been able to fought off Russell Wilson recently. But as far as matchups go, I mean, Deshaun Watson would be a little bit of a problem, but Lamar Jackson is who I don't want to see, so that would be a scary one. All right.
Plus, if they've taught us anything, how are you going to stop Lamar Jackson when he's wearing armbands the same color as his skin?
Yeah.
So who was that said that?
I'm trying to remember idiot. Who that was. I don't even remember.
Ryan, I think it was, but I could be mistaken.
What an idiot. All right. We got to get a break. When we come back, it's hour two. Bogman and I looking at the other games and maybe doing some previews, team previews on the baseball front, some NL West teams. So don't go anywhere. More Bogman and Welsh coming up.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.